Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Yeah, it's that time again. We're here.
What time?
It's 4:39.
Again?
Yep, again. Sunday.
Super Sunday.
We like the Super Bowl so much, we're not watching it, and we're recording a podcast.
I'm not sure who's playing.
Leah, let me ask you this. Who do you guys got in the game?
The
Dodgers.
The Dodgers. I know the Raiders didn't make it because they're never going to. I don't watch men run around in tights, though.
I don't know. I'm giving it to the Lions.
The Lions?
Yeah.
The Lions are good. Barry Sanders had a good year.
I don't even know enough to joke, like, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good. Lions might take it.
So many manly people are disheartened right now. They're hungover and their bowels are aching from shitting out chicken wings, and they're shaking their head in disapproval. Yeah. I don't think any of us, honest. I don't know the teams.
I do, only because my girlfriend's doing a pool for work.
Ah.
She's not watching the game. We don't have cable, so it doesn't matter. But she told me who was playing.
Who's playing?
Patriots and Falcons.
Okay. But it's in Houston.
Yes, I guess.
Okay, I knew it was in Houston.
Houston, Miami. That's where it's at. So, speaking of Detroit, though, the Tigers, or the Lions, I should say. I have gifts for both of you. You guys know one of them because I sent a picture, which I shouldn't have sent a picture, but pretty funny. And stuff that reminded me of you. So let me grab the bag. So
I'm a little bit
I give Brent the one first. Actually, no, since I said speaking of Detroit, I brought you back this.
Nice.
So
a bottle of Faygo Red Pop, ladies and gentlemen.
And then Brent gets a Strange Friends.
I can't believe they have this.
Pigeon Man. It's actually a guy with a pigeon head.
It's from a cartoon or something?
I have no idea.
That's amazing.
But it's funny.
I'm stoked.
So since you like figures.
Oh, nice. A Bigfoot.
Bigfoot action figure.
Yeah. That's the shit.
And then for Brent.
Did you know it's my... Oh, shit.
Because you're an alcoholic.
Did you know that tomorrow's my birthday?
Is it? Yeah. Well, happy fucking birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Know. I didn't know. I
Why, just how come Dave stuff. Got presents? Now you got to get me an extra present.
Well, it's like the siblings. It's like the siblings. You know, when you get one something...
Yeah, you got to give the other one a present too.
So...
What's that, a flask?
It says three sheets to the wind in the flask.
It's a small one. I know you're talking about a small flask.
Yeah. So. Can you set it down? Can.
It's round.
It. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
No, that's
now I can look inside and see if it has the black China gunk.
It says wash before you use.
Yeah, I was actually looking at flasks, as like you do. I was looking at them like two nights ago extensively and going to buy one. But everyone online was like, it's full of black gunk. I was like, what does that mean? It's some weird China fake steel with lead in it?
Yeah. No, I thought that one was pretty cool. It's smaller.
5 ounce, yeah.
So,
well, I thank you, sir. Bigfoot will have either a place down here amongst the whiskey or in my office at work amongst all my nerdy action figures I have at work.
So
I'm putting my flashlight on. I'm going to look inside this thing.
I don't think that one does.
No.
That one should be good.
It looks pretty clean. And plus, whiskey ain't dirty. So
that's what I was going to say.
That's true.
It's the China chemicals that I'm worried about. Yeah,
that's true.
So speaking of whiskey, what whiskey do we have? We have Laparag.
That's right. We had Josh Haney, very legit, sent us two bottles of whiskey for the whiskey wall. The one we're drinking on today's episode is Laphroaig. It is a single malt.
Oh, it's like Siegfried and Laphroaig?
Yeah, that's right.
Huh. Good.
It's Laphroaig? Named after the tiger that mauled him. Laphroaig, it's a Isle whiskey, or an Islay. They told us we said it wrong. So it's an Isle single malt, which means it's very smoky. I've had it before, but these guys haven't. So you want to have a snort?
Spicy.
It's not spicy, actually.
No, it's not, actually.
It tastes like cask.
It's the same type of scotch.
Yeah, it's a scotch.
Super weird, like, aftertaste.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's really good. It's like a...
It does have that smoke, though.
Sort of a watery version of the cask Isle, honestly. Like, it's more mild.
It's good, smokier, yeah. But more mild, yeah, I think.
I don't know that it's smokier.
You don't think so?
No, I think the where the smoke hits you, like where you taste it, is a little different than the cask. So it's good, though. Thank you.
It's good. Laphroaig is good. And then, thank you very much, Josh Haney. He also gave us a bottle of another bottle, and we will uncork that on our next episode.
Yeah. Brent's favorite. And Patrick Jimenez, thank you. I got my 40-ounce of King Cobra.
Nice.
Here in front of me.
We got so many presents. Dave, you got presents from Pat Jimenez, aka Pat Solo. They're right here. I got it.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's like a Christmas.
It's like Super Bowl is
this
Christmas.
This is Jawat Christmas. It's in February.
Does it happen on Super Bowl Sunday?
It happens on Super Bowl Sunday.
It's because he knew it was my birthday. We're going to have to like celebrate this every day. February 5th is now Jawat Christmas. Yeah. You got this.
What's that?
This.
Oh, kale chips. Is it kale chips?
Organic roasted seaweed snacks.
Ooh, cute seaweed snappers.
I do like seaweed snacks.
And then I don't know why. He got you this.
Fucking sweet.
So when you go hunting for Bigfoot that you now have a picture of, your
Jesus
action figure?
Jesus Christ. He got me a serrated machete. Badass. That thing is dangerous. It's like the scabbard is all fucked up because it's so sharp.
Yeah. And I almost wanted to not tell you about it. That thing's
cool. Now you need
cool.
some stamps. Be able to
fucking go into the woods.
And then Pat got me this.
The cookbook of ramen, which is
fucking sick.
It has some horrible things in it. It should be called How to Kill Yourself with Carbs. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. If I didn't had just gone on a low carb diet, I will one day. It'll be my Sundays.
You could still eat. Yeah. You could still have some. You just got
cheat day. Cheat day. I'll make that.
Be careful. What else we got? Hot Sack Winner.
We got a Hot Sack Winner. Which
Hot Sack Winner.
I hope you remember what the hell he said. It was funny. Our Techo Winner of the Week. Every week we post something about El Yucateco and we ask that you like, share, and comment. And then we choose a winner. This time we said, why did Techo cross the road? And I was hoping for funny answers. And Matt Chappell said...
To go looking for rare stamps in the woods.
Yeah. Yes.
It's pretty funny.
There are some funny ones. Most of them had to do with dicks.
And a lot of them had to do with dicks.
Try to avoid that because we already talk about dicks enough.
And I do have to say, so I made an enchilada casserole this week, like with green enchilada sauce, one of my favorite things to make. And I always put the jalapeno El Yucateco on it.
Oh, jalapeno.
So it's just like a big green Hulk monster with guacamole and jalapeno sauce and green everything. And I put the jalapeno sauce on it. I even took a picture of it so I could post it, but I haven't posted it because I'm lazy. And
you are black.
I started. Okay. That's right. I started to eat it, and I was like, "That's not nearly enough hot sauce."
Right.
So I like doubled down, and I was like, "Okay, I think I might have put too much on. This is really going to kind of fuck me up." And then I started eating it, and I was like, "That still isn't enough hot sauce. I probably put three times as much as I normally would." To get the flavor profile that I was after. I'm achieving some sort of green El Yucateco immunity.
That's because the jalapeno one's pretty mellow. My brother eats that one. We were talking about that's one you can pour on if you like the flavor because you won't kill yourself. So,
well, jalapeno just has a different heat.
Right.
Like, it can be hot.
That one's just not that hot.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I'm comparing it to the regular green habanero.
The green habanero one.
Maybe that's what I do. Okay. Then I'm not getting an immunity. I'm just using a different hot sauce.
Even El Yucateco.
Well, no, because... Last time
with that one,
yeah, he had the jalapeno. He hadn't eaten it and had trouble with it.
Not the jalapeno one. No,
yeah, it was
the
jalapeno.
No, it was when I went to Victor's. I put real jalapenos on my bowl, and that fucked me up. Yeah, and I thought
some of those are hot. Sometimes you get jalapenos that were not very hot, and they just have a little bit of flavor. And sometimes they fucking destroy you. So,
and as a final thing before we get into our show, we are going to be giving a big fat shout out to a special group of Patreon supporters at the very end of the show, the ones who graduated from Sofa King High School. So we're going to be having a graduation ceremony at the end of the show for this year's batch of graduates. So you might want to listen to that. And if you are into the show and you do want to give us $1 or $5 or $1,000 or $1 billion.
Yeah, there is no limit. Sky's limit.
There's no limit.
Like, I'll just warn you, if you give us $1 billion, we'll probably quit. Yeah.
If Bill Gates, if you're listening, you can give us $1 billion.
We just learned some famous people
to do the podcast. So
we know you have money, motherfuckers.
That's right. So if you go to www....
You got it.
Sofa King.
It's a podcast, yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah.
/
Yep, you're
give
on
us money, please.
It's a wonder we're getting anything.
People are not navigating. Patreon.com/ Sofa King Podcast.
Yes.
And we're giving away things, so we're not just taking money from you and giving you nothing in return. Some people have started receiving their shirts, post them up, so those fuck face peasants are jealous.
Yeah, if you want to see what it looks like in the private Facebook group, somebody posted one. We Brad and I mailed out a ton of those shirts. If you haven't gotten yours yet, we're trying. There are still more.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, if you're international, it's on its way, but we're working on it. Yeah. But most of the United States, we mailed those out. So
I think we still have a lot more.
There's a couple. Well, it also depends on like Patreon cycles and if you've gotten back to us with your shirt size, that's a big factor. If you have not, please do so.
Wait, if we wait for us to send you a request for it, because if not, it gets jumbled up with everything else. That you start posting your size in Facebook fucking forums, nobody gives a shit. So
we'll never find it.
Yeah, there's so much going on that we lose it. So. Anyway, I'm going to get to drinking my Cobra while we talk about D motherfucking B Cooper.
D to the B motherfucking Cooper.
I never heard of this guy. Like, I didn't know, what it was. It never crossed my path.
He was really high up on the fan vote, which is why we wanted to cover him. A lot of people for a long time have mentioned DB Cooper, one of the most famous sort of missing person cases out there. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if it was probably on like In Search Of, hosted by Leonard Nimoy, or if it was just a documentary, but I remember there was like a lot of buzz when I was a kid about him disappearing. And it might have been because of the 1980 thing, because he disappeared in 71, but then there was like a resurgence of some clues in 1980. But I remember a lot about this as a kid. Maybe it was a shitty made for TV movie. I even remember a reenactment and him like jumping out of the plane. It was probably before that though.
It's with Robert Duvall, 1981.
Maybe it was it. But so I kind of knew the case of DB Cooper, but it was really interesting to dig into it. And I don't know if you guys spent very much time looking at some of the possible suspects that people think might be DB Cooper, because there's a lot of pretty interesting, like a lot of the people that people are pointing at, some of them are like, there's no fucking way, but some of them are like, oh, that's quite possible.
There's a couple that there's a lot of weird stuff, but it's almost like people became so fascinated with it. I think they lived their life to become the suspect or something, what I mean? Like they were into some things.
And then a cool thing, like a lot of the evidence that I'm going to talk about, a lot of the evidence that I have didn't come out until like 2007, 2008.
Right. New evidence in 2017?
Yeah, with the tie.
I thought you were doing short for titanium.
No.
I like that fucking the reporter got scammed for like $30,000 by a couple dudes.
That was cool too.
Oh,
like,
I didn't hear
a
that.
A couple guys counterfeited all the bills with the serial numbers because they made them public. So they counterfeited a whole batch of the bills and got someone to buy the story for $30,000.
Nice. Because
they said they knew who he was.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So insane. So we'll get into all the stuff, but so those of you who don't know anything about the DB Cooper case, let's cover the basics of what the case is, and then we'll get into the mystery and what people think. So First off, according to the FBI and most of the stuff that I read about it, there's no reason that he should be called DB Cooper. Like the airplane ticket that he bought simply said, Dan Cooper.
Right.
But there was some sort of a mistake.
It was that, the media.
Yeah. There was a mistake from one of the early newspapers and they typed DB instead of Dan.
Well, that might've been
everyone
the issue.
Just started calling him DB Cooper.
Everybody knows Dan Cooper.
Right.
But DB Cooper, nobody knew.
Maybe that was the big mystery.
Yeah.
Like we should have been, we should have been looking at Dan Cooper, the guy that steals money and jumps out of planes.
We know that guy.
I saw another guy that just said like DA Cooper when I was watching one of the little mini, like 3-minute documentary things on YouTube. And then DB Cooper, like it's not.
I got to give it up to some like 1971 fucking Telefax. Like some shitty printout coming over the news wire. And you're like, does that say fucking DB?
Yep. Fax. It had the line down the middle of it. No one would replace it. Yeah. That's what happens.
That's DD Cooper.
That's what I'm chalking it up to.
Don't know DB Cooper.
But so in a nutshell, DB Cooper, Dan Cooper, on November 24th, 1971, jumped out of a 727 with a bunch of money. So that's the nutshell.
I'm going to say allegedly on that.
Okay.
Nobody saw.
Fair enough. Yeah. This is,
we'll keep going. Okay. Keep going. Cause I got some questions.
So here's the basics of supposedly what happened. Okay. So November 24th, day before Thanksgiving, 1971, a man calling himself Dan Cooper, goes to the counter of Northwest Orient Airlines in Portland, Oregon. He buys an airplane ticket with cash. One-way ticket.
$20.
Yeah, it was actually $18 and change.
Crazy.
The rest of it was tax. So yeah, $20 would get you.
That
would
whole
get you
hamburger
one
was a nickel story. Yeah. It's like fucking true.
But again, he didn't need ID. He just showed up. Name's Dan Cooper. Okay, give me $20.
I wonder
get
if
on.
You say Mickey Mouse, they call you on that shit. You know, if you get ridiculous, they're like, come on, give
I'm
me
sure,
a real name.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could have done Mickey Mouse.
Radically then. Different days. So he just walks up, says his name is Dan Cooper, folds over $20. He gets on flight 305 bound for Seattle. It's a 30-minute flight. He was quiet, totally non-assuming, according to all the witnesses, just wearing a business suit and a black tie, very polite. Typical, you know, man in black outfit, just white shirt, black tie.
Business attire.
He drank a bourbon and soda, my kind of guy, while on the plane. And then when they were in the air shortly after 3 p.m., he gives the stewardess a note that says he has a bomb in his briefcase and he wants her to sit down next to him.
Right.
So she sits down next to him.
First, she dropped it in her purse, though, and paid no attention. She thought he was flirting. He handed her the note.
Oh, I didn't see that.
She thought it was his phone number.
She just dropped it in her open purse, and he said, "Miss, you should read that. I have a bomb, and I'm taking charge of the plane."
Oh,
but then
shit.
She read
and she's
the
like,
note.
Oh, let me look
and
at
she
it.
She was like, "Are you serious?" Yeah.
Right. Well, he kind of spoiled the note.
Bomb was a metaphor.
Like he kinda,
well, the crazy
like
thing
there's
is,
kind of no point.
He
for
actually
the,
said
no,
spoiler alert.
Yeah,
she got
yeah. Nobody actually knows what the note says though,
because he took it with him.
He took it with him.
So all we know is that it was in all capital letters, in like all capital block letters. Like sounds like it was written with a Sharpie. Or
yeah,
something.
It was right. His phone number.
Yeah.
She the whole thing. She didn't want her husband to know. Yeah.
So she ends up sitting down. He opens up his briefcase. And there inside there's a mass of wires and a red battery and some sticks that it looked like a bomb.
Oh yeah.
You know, whether it was or not, who's to say?
Yeah. Who the fuck is she? Like she's the only one that saw it.
It was 8 red cylinders and a fucking big ass battery and a bunch
some
of
coke
wires.
Cans.
That's scary.
Well, even today, like if wires. You, whatever, even if it was a coke can, if someone had a bag with a bunch of fucking wires and weird electronics, like going into coke cans, I'd be like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Like could be fertilizer in
just
coke
made
cans.
A fucking coke can bomb.
God damn. That's good.
Is that some good malt liquor?
Good.
So
you might have to give a little bit up, dude.
It's good.
She ends up,
Not over that. Fuck. Jesus Christ.
We're literally pouring King Cobra over fucking recording shit.
All the recording equipment.
Right fuck. That was scary.
Sorry, so
I scared myself.
She ends up taking a new note to the captain.
Okay.
And this note tells the captain that when they land, they need to demand 4 parachutes and $200,000 and no one's to get off the plane. And to confirm that she saw the bomb.
And he didn't want military parachutes. He wanted commercial, like regular parachutes from like a parachuting school.
He also phrased it weird. He said negotiable
bills.
American currency.
This gets into some of the
which was a strange term to use.
Yeah, negotiable American currency is what he says. And a lot of like people...
What's unnegotiable American currency?
Well, one of the things that I read said that...
Dollars.
No, one of the things that I read said that at the time, for some reason, a lot of people who weren't from America would have said negotiable... Like they might have said that term.
Because that means like, real money, I guess. Because
I guess it like makes him seem like he might not have been American.
Right.
Or either that or he was just really nervous and shitting his pants. And every time he watched a bank robbery movie, they said like something about negotiable. Like what
didn't
did they
seem
say?
Like he was nervous.
Like non-negotiable, negotiable. What are you supposed to say when you rob a bank?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
That's he said a few weird things throughout the whole thing. I mean,
maybe he practiced in the
in the
mirror
maybe
a whole lot.
Maybe he wanted to sound really cool.
Yeah.
You know, like wanted to sound really, really good.
Well, he should ask for $100 bills because it would have weighed 5 pounds instead of like 23
true.
Or 21 or whatever.
That's
it was.
True. And I looked into it and that was the equivalent of about $1.2 million by today's standards.
Isn't that crazy?
So that was a good
chunk. I thought the plane ticket was $20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The flight lands in Seattle. They have the money and they have the parachutes. They bring them on the plane. He lets all of the 36 regular passengers go. 37 if you count the really short one with an afro.
Yeah. And two off. Of the stewardesses.
Yeah, like, some of the stewardesses. Yeah.
He kept one flight attendant and the pilot co-pilot, crew. Right?
Yeah.
That one had to sit with him
and an
like
engineer.
2 hours lighting cigarettes or something while they circled and waited for them to prepare that money and the parachute. She sat next to him and lit all his cigarettes while he held two stripped wires. Which you wouldn't just have. Dude, that wasn't a real bomb. If you had two stripped wires, you're not closing the briefcase lid at any point with wires just sitting in there.
No.
That's not how that works.
No.
You build a bomb, you put a fucking switch on it. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, dang it, Radio Shack was closed. I got to get on this plane.
Duke and Smurfs then put a switch on it.
I would have put a switch on it.
No. So,
do you put?
I guess that explains because it said that he smoked exactly 8 cigarettes while they were waiting. I guess that explains why they knew how many cigarettes he smoked because she had to fucking light them.
2 hours and she lit them all,
Yeah.
And they didn't save a single fucking cigarette butt with any DNA on it. They didn't get any of those. They didn't get his bourbon glass. They didn't get any fucking cigarettes. Yeah.
No. But at the time, I don't know that that would have been on the radar.
You know, I flew on a plane from Tennessee. The type of the plane was called an M80, which was scary enough because it's a fucking firecracker.
Right.
And the picture for the light was a picture of like a fucking sun. It had like hieroglyphs. I was like, is that a sun for the light? And I pushed it and it's like the light can't come on. And then in the handle, there was a fucking ashtray and there was a cigarette butt in the fucking ashtray on the plane I was on. How
is DB Cooper's?
They didn't clean that shit since 1970.
You fucking should have scooped that shit up.
Yeah, what year did they quit doing that? No, that plane got sold or something, I guess, a couple times.
It might have just been international. I think there's still some international flights where they let people smoke.
Are you kidding me? That has to be a safety thing.
I don't know.
Ugh, I can't imagine riding in those fucking old planes like that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fucking brutal.
Nasty.
But so they get all that stuff. Apparently, they get all that stuff and then the plane is allowed to take back off. So the plane takes off and he tells the pilot to head towards Mexico, Mexico City. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Tells him to head towards Mexico City. While he's there, apparently he takes apart one of the reserve parachutes and he uses all of the paracord to bundle up all the money and to tie it to his body, with the paracord.
He also gave him very specific flight instructions. You saw that. Yeah. On that flight to Mexico City, he wants the landing gear down and the flaps at 15 degrees, which was a unique, like to that aircraft alone, like to control the speed specifically, like 15 degrees was unique to that specific aircraft.
Yeah, to make
aircraft.
Sure that they can only travel at and the slowest knots available.
Yeah, like, he wanted before stall speed, so 100 knots, flaps at 15 degrees,
feet.
Landing gear down, 10,000 feet, and the aft stairway down. He wanted it down when they took off and the pilots argued with him and said they couldn't do it. And he said, it's safe. You could. I'm not going to argue. I'll take care of it when we're in flight. So he knew that he could do it by himself without the help of the front.
Wow.
And they since changed the on certain planes that have things like that, that it has to be overridden from the front. Obviously,
right.
You don't want people just fucking opening the door. They didn't think of that. They did not think of that. They did not go like, what if someone pulls this switch and opens this fucking stairway?
Yeah, he didn't want the cabin pressurized either.
Yeah.
So... pretty interesting.
And he probably asked for, I was like, why did he ask for 4 parachutes? Because that made me think like maybe the crew is in on it at first or something. Like maybe they're all going to jump. But it was a good point I read somewhere. Someone said that it's most likely because if they thought he was going to take a hostage and force them to jump, they were less likely to sabotage any of the shoots.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If they might all
jump. Yeah, because they didn't know. Yeah.
Right. That way they won't kill someone innocent. He also, before they took off again, had them taxi to like a part of the runway that was well lit, and then he had them turn off the lights so snipers couldn't shoot him.
Yeah, he had his...
He knew a lot of shit.
He had his fucking shit scoped out. Yeah, like, totally. he knew his shit.
Scoped out. What a term to use right then. Right.
So, the plane takes off, and as it takes off, by the way, there were two fighter planes, a helicopter, and a C-130 aircraft all following the airplane to see what happened.
Well, and the fighter pilots, or the fighter planes were... One was above, one was below, so they were out of his sight.
But they had to like spin circles because they couldn't fly that slow.
Right. They couldn't fly that slow.
Yeah.
Probably why
that was weird.
Because at first I was like, well, how the fuck is a helicopter going to keep up? But now that makes sense.
And that makes sense too. I didn't really think about that. But nobody saw him jump. That's the crazy thing.
It's dark. He's wearing a suit. Like he had like a trench coat on it, said like a light trench coat.
I guess if they turn the cabin, if they turn all the lights off in the plane, maybe not.
And at 200 miles an hour, the like wind, like that dude is like,
That'd be really fucking hard to see.
He's a bag of Fritos out the window on the freeway.
They didn't have they didn't have night vision goggles. They didn't like fucking like you're not seeing that shit.
That would suck if he jumped and hit one of the jets. Fucking birds. They didn't even know. They just thought it was a bird. Fucking pigeons up here.
So somewhere between Seattle and Reno, at the FBI said 8:10 p.m. he jumped out of the back of the 727. And again, the 727 was a unique airplane. It was the only commercial jet leaving that airport that had that sort of back door on it. Yeah. So he even knew that. But he jumps out, disappears into the night, and this is sort of the mystery, right? Over the next couple of days, they sent 1,000 National Reserve troops and FBI agents to scour the entire area. They didn't find any evidence of a parachute. They didn't find a body. They didn't find any scattered money.
Yeah.
So they didn't find shit in their search.
They said what?
It was the most extensive. Yeah. It was a 28-mile square mile, and it was the most extensive and exhaustive research in U.S. history.
And the crazy thing is they found some ladies found a skeleton. Like later in the later years, like doing a search. No, was it this? Was
yeah, it they found time? They found in a barn. Well, there are a couple things happened. They found one in a barn during the search, and it ended up being a woman that was murdered prior.
A girl.
And then they found a skull on the banks while they were trying to find the money that's bundled that we'll talk about later. Yeah. And that turned out to be a Native American woman from who knows when. Yeah.
So, yeah, but they did tons of shit. Like right away, they took the same exact airplane, the 727. They had it repeat its speed and altitude, and they were throwing like test dummies and weights out just to see the angle of the fall, to like throwing things out, like just to figure out if he jumped at 8:11, this was his course. So they had a really fucking good idea of the area that he should have landed in.
Yeah, they pushed because they said it. I think it was 8:13 that the rear of the aircraft went up, and they tried pushing a 200-pound sled out. And I don't know if it had to do with the aft stairway coming down and air drag or with weight, but I was like, dude, 200 pounds couldn't, but I don't know, like 200 pounds leaving the rear of the plane, I wouldn't think that would cause it to move, but maybe in combination with
that's
it.
Kinda
but
weird.
When they did the test, they were able to recreate the entire thing because they had to actually adjust the plane to correct the tilt of the plane.
And they even sent a fucking SR-71 spy plane.
I didn't read that part.
With one of the best fucking cameras America had to fly the flight path, photographing everything to see, is there a parachute stuck in a tree? Is there scattered money? And the SR-71 got no photos of anything.
He probably, if he landed and safe, he probably, you know, packed up all the shit.
If he landed safe, that you wouldn't have seen anything. Yeah. Like that's the key. Because the he didn't make it and he died argument to me means they find his parachute in a tree, they find his mangled body, they find the money scattered. They find the money scattered everywhere, unless he hit water. Good point. Good
because
point.
He could, they said it would, some of the locations he would have hit would have immediately dumped him to the ocean and he'd be fucking gone.
Right.
And I mean, think about it. You get lost in the fucking woods. They don't find you for 10 years and shit. I mean, they're scouring that shit. But also, if he was a World War II, like, air trooper, like vet, they were trained to bury their parachute if they landed behind, enemy lines.
Right.
So he would have tried to bury it, which makes it even fucking harder to find, obviously.
But again, the jump, 10,000 feet. during a fucking rainstorm at night,
200 miles an hour,
fucking 200 miles an hour over forested terrain,
-7 degrees,
wearing only a fucking business suit and dress shoes
and fucking loafers, dude.
The motherfucker was James Bond.
They said when he jumped out of that speed, his fucking shoes were gone immediately, like loafers.
But it had to have, yeah.
Unless you glued them on. So it makes you wonder if he's an experienced, skydiver. Because what the fuck? You can wear a business suit and some fucking combat boots. I mean,
I have to say, we're still going to look at a lot of evidence, but I mean, right now I'm already going to say at this point in the research, I'm leaning towards two possibilities. Possibility A, he's dead as fuck and he jumped out of the plane at 8:11. He was dead by 8:12. Possibility B is he's a Rambo. Motherfucking Rambo badass that knew exactly what he was doing, chose exactly when to jump out, wore the suit for a reason, knew exactly where he was landing.
He landed at a dinner party.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's fucking Jason Bourne. Yeah. Like he's fucking.
Because a lot of people who are experienced parachutists, a lot of people who are like ex-military people were like, oh yeah, that's totally doable.
There was
like,
also a lot of them said, no fucking way I'm doing that.
Because, right. But a lot of them scary. Were like, you could do it.
Yeah. But if you're this guy who's super calm and through this whole thing.
The other thing is if he jumped over that terrain, they didn't coordinate. There was no instructions to the flight crew to coordinate any type of time drop to land at a specific location. So if he had like someone trying to meet him, because there's some theories about someone in a camper and shit going to meet him with a fucking walkie-talkie. He chose the non-maneuverable parachute. He's going to land wherever the fucking wind blows him. And he lands in the middle of fucking trees in the middle of the forest. You're talking about hike. He could land on top of a fucking mountain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he could be hours away. If you don't know, there's no GPS.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't sound, he's a smart guy until that point.
And he even, but not.
Maybe he's fine.
Like, another thing is, a lot of people said that he, like the eyewitnesses were saying that while they were flying, he was pointing out exactly what a lot of things were.
Yeah. He's like, oh, he
knew
Tacoma.
That's Tacoma. Like he knew. So, it might point towards him being a commercial pilot. Maybe he knew the area. He flew enough that he knew exactly the area.
He knew that
at 8:11, I need to jump out. If I'm telling him to fly this fast, blah, blah, blah. That's when I fucking jump out.
Pretty close.
Maybe. Yeah.
But any wind,
I don't know either. So the only
neither does the FBI.
Yeah. So the only evidence that ends up being left over are the empty parachute bags that he never used, the parachutes that he cut the paracords from. They still have that in FBI lockup. His original plane ticket, his clip-on tie, which they're only like 95% certain is his, but they know that he was wearing a tie when he got on the plane, and his seat 18E, had this tie in it.
It's almost like to throw you off because he took such care to make sure he actually instructed the flight attendant to bring his note back. He wanted the note back.
Right.
That he took, and he got the note back from her. He wanted everything back. He took everything with him. Why would he take his tie off and leave it? Like, well, that's going to fly off right away. It's a clip-on. Like, I don't want to do that.
And it was a clip-on. I thought that was a funny detail. Well, yeah, it's a JCPenney clip-on tie.
Good tie. Somebody might want to use it.
Yeah. And the tie becomes very important.
Maybe he had a suit or something underneath his suit. Like, maybe he was wearing something underneath his suit.
Maybe.
But why would you take the whole fucking suit off and chuck it out the back and jump out in your suit?
Fuck
or maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
Maybe it was behind the curtain. Yeah,
maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
So the FBI right away on their website talks extensively about the DB Cooper case. The FBI website has got tons of documents about their investigation, whole little narratives that they put together, more than almost anything I've seen on the FBI site. They've got a lot of stuff. I think it's because it's one case that wasn't like them murdering people and doing horrible things, so they could kind of have fun with it and make it a PR thing, you know. But there's a lot of stuff on DB Cooper on there.
Like, hey, we didn't kill anybody in this case. Look, guys, we didn't solve it,
but who could?
Yeah.
So they immediately opened an investigation. They called it NORJAC, for the Northwest Hijacking. They interviewed hundreds of people. They tracked leads all over the place. They scoured the aircraft for any evidence. They even, years later, they ended up getting DNA from the tie and the tie clip, but they can't connect it to anybody.
They had, dudes go to barns and, search barns on
foot. Oh, yeah, everywhere.
So every farm. They did that 18-day search, and then a month later did another 18-day search. They did crazy shit.
So the, by the 5-year anniversary of the hijacking, they had fully investigated more than 800 suspects in like trying to rule this out and see who did it. So it was a very, very extensive. Yeah,
and it's crazy too, because the money that they got was from certain dates, and it was from the San Francisco mint. And then they took microfilm of it. So they knew they knew what numbers.
Had 2 hours back in the day, and they scanned that shit to microfilm before they gave it to him.
Yeah, so they knew exactly what money he took, and it never showed up anywhere. Like they were, you know, they put out like, oh hey, we'll give you $1,000 if you can come up with a bill. You know what I mean? With one of the $20 bills,
someone else
will
give you $1,000.
Yeah, somebody else offered $5,000. To just any money that you, if you match these numbers, like it's like a fucking lottery.
That's crazy.
And nobody had, they said they had close matches, but nobody could come up with anything that was actually from the lots that they, you know, took. So kind of crazy. Like where'd the money go?
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, you always follow the money.
That points more towards a splat than a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, the next day he spent $200,000, then a week later, those bills would be showing up all over the place in circulation.
This is what I was thinking too, though. Like what if he was out of the country, you know, and how fast would that money get back to the United States? You know, or would it get back to the United States?
I mean, there is some weirdness that it could be sitting in some fucking safe in the Middle East or something, and it never made it back in circulation or something if you made it away. There's also, it could have fallen into a fucking lake and he landed. And he's like, fuck, I lost the money. Not doing that again. Yeah. That was cold as fuck.
Right.
Which there's some evidence of that later on. So kind of, you know, who knows? Like that's what's crazy is like this guy jumps from a plane and then nothing. But normally you would find a body. I mean, with the manhunt that they did, with the searching,
they're ninjas
for years.
Find you,
I don't know.
Well, because there was also a bunch of copycats, and they caught every one of those motherfuckers.
So the first and last bit of evidence that they found about it was at the he was a little boy at the time, but in a place called Tina Bar, which is like a lake area, like a bar where
in Washington
rivers
right?
lead out. Yeah, in Washington, a boy named Brian Ingram found buried in the sand a rotting package of $20 bills, and it was $5,800 worth of $20 bills.
It was three packages. Two of them had 100 bills, and the other one had 90.
Yeah,
and they were still wrapped up in the original rubber band. Yeah. Which becomes important for the forensics.
And 2 years before that, they found the place card that had the instructions for lowering the aft stairs of a 727. A hunter found it in 1978.
Oh, I didn't read about that.
So two years before that happened. So that's the only two pieces of evidence there are is the bundles of the 20s and then the place card that had the instructions on how to open that door.
And and why was there only 90 bills in one of the packages?
10. Yeah. 10 were missing. So. Yeah.
Right.
Which it's so fucking it's, running through a river probably. I mean.
Yeah, but they were still packaged up though. Like it's some weird thing. I don't know. Maybe they
rubber bands are gnarly.
Money.
You ever try to pull bills out of a rubber band? That's hard.
Yeah, that's true. So really nothing else came of the case for a very fucking long time. These things happened. And then there was a field agent in the FBI. And definitely stop me if I'm jumping way ahead past where you guys still have stuff. Because in 2007, a field agent named Larry Carr took over the D.B. Cooper case for the FBI. And the FBI basically wanted the case. He said, I want the D.B. Cooper case. And the FBI was like, are you fucking serious? Like, nobody wants to, like, why do you want the D.B. Cooper case?
Because they didn't have to do shit.
And he was like, you know, just make it part of my caseload. And they were like, we'll make it part of your caseload, but you're not getting any money. You're not getting any manpower. You're not getting any resources. If you want to officially say it's your case, it's your case. You're not getting a fucking thing. But wisely, he fucking crowdsourced it. So what he did in 2007 is he built a website and he started posting all of the evidence that the FBI had, including things that had never been made public before.
Was he like, hey, I'm fucking Bill Jenkins from the FBI, like fucking bloody, bloody, blah. He put that out there on the website or was he just giving information?
He said, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. He contacted groups of experts and people contacted him right away, like geologists and people who were already into it, private detectives, like tons of people. And then the website kind of blew up. up and it was just all these people and they would post a clue and then everybody would get on the forums and be like, oh, actually, you know, a rubber band, if it was left in cold water for this, like some physicist would chime in, somebody. So they start, yeah, they put all this like fucking forensic artist, the kid who found the money, like all these people. You can see like a couple of videos of the team getting together and doing their work online along with Agent Larry Carr, but they created a thing and the website is called Citizen Sleuths and it's just HTTP citizensleuths.com. And there's a bunch of different categories about the clues and all the different things that they found. And it talks a lot about DB Cooper, but this is where a lot of more evidence starts to surface and different theories come forward about what might have happened with DB Cooper.
The only one thing I think we might have skipped is, did we talk about on the parachutes that one of the chutes he put on was no good and everybody should have known it if he knew what he was jumping out of? So they gave him a military chute that he shouldn't have picked. He should have picked a more maneuverable skydiver, you know, normal.
Well, he said he didn't want chutes. He said he didn't want military chutes.
And he picked one that was a military drop chute as opposed to the maneuverable civilian, more sport chute or whatever, like for people who actually skydive. And then he had two reserve chutes. He opened the one, like Dave said, to get the cords out to tie the other, to tie the money to his waist and cut the good working reserve chute and then put on a reserve chute that was clearly marked by some insignia to say that it was a training chute and it's non-functional. It's sewn shut. And an experienced person would have been like, oh, that's not a fucking working chute. It doesn't even work. He put that one on and took it with him.
And that Citizen Sleuth's website actually talks about this. It talks a lot about the parachute decision because he says that the terminology that he used was front and back parachutes. Like, I want a front parachute or I want a back parachute. And everybody on the website was like, nobody would fucking call it that.
Yeah.
Like, but it is either a parachute you wear on your front, which is what the emergency and reserve packs are, or on your back. You would say that if you knew parachutes, but he didn't use the right terminology. But then, like you said, he, when they tried to show him how to put on the parachutes, he turned down the help and just put them on because he knew how to put on a parachute, which indicates he knows what he's doing. But then the choice of the parachutes sort of indicates that he doesn't know it. So it's like
some people said the weather, it was actually a better choice to use the parachute that he did because it was a military like drop chute or whatever, that the durability of it was greater, that you could, it was less likely to tear in that type of
situation. maybe he did that to throw everybody off too, you know, to be like, this guy doesn't really know what's going on with parachutes. He's not a parachuting.
Right.
He's not a para. What is it? A paraplegic. Paraplegic.
He's not a paraplegic.
He, you know.
Well, but another thing that a lot of people on the website were saying was, if this guy was a trained military paratrooper, which is the only way that he would have survived this fucking jump, then it might not be a surprise that that's the parachute he wants, because that's exactly what he would have been trained to use as a parachute.
He wouldn't know how to use the fucking,
like, why would I put that thing on? You know, back in the war, I knew how to jump out of a plane in worse conditions than this, with flak exploding.
Did they go around to different schools and stuff, like to where he could have been training or you know, using
nothing
I
read.
I didn't read anything about that.
I didn't see anything either. So, I mean, I wonder if he was, I guess he could have been in a different part of the country or maybe even out of the country.
Was difficult. Like, he almost needed to have his hand on it before he jumped out of the plane, because once he hit that cold, he would be tumbling and disoriented and not be able to pull it off.
Spinning and shit.
Ooh.
Damn.
So the,
by getting hit on your street bike. Yeah, no
shit. So the money itself, right? They find the money. It's like 20 miles away from where they think he dropped, where that kid found the money. And they started doing all this crazy work looking at it. They like this team that came together for Larry Carr. They like took bundles of money.
Larry Carr, like, isn't that a fucking, like ambulance chasing attorney?
That might be. Sounds like
Larry Carr got me fucking $3.6 million.
But they actually, they like took money and put like GPS trackers on it and threw it in different rivers just to track and
see where it would go.
They did all this different shit. And again, the FBI wasn't doing it. This was just like civilians and academics and researchers that were curious about the DB Cooper case. But Larry Carr was there like helping them and like overseeing everything. But so one of the theories was that it could have, what they called the Washougal washdown theory, which it could have made it there to where it landed at the Tina Bar. It could have gone through the Washougal River and the Columbia River and ended up there, and it was completely plausible. But the other stuff that they started to look at was that it they looked at the rubber bands, like tons of crazy stuff. A geologist named Leonard Palmer started to dredge the river and
he was a golfer.
They named a lemonade drink after him. Mm-hmm.
I drink those all the time.
They dredged the river to check the soil so they could compare the soil on the bills to like, where was it? Was it buried under the river the whole time? And basically the findings that they had based on different rubber band tests, based on soil tests, all this stuff, was that that particular package of money, according to the forensics, had to have been buried right where that kid found it a long fucking time ago, or else the soil would be different. The deterioration of the money would be different. And the rubber bands would have, because you know, a fucking shitty old 5-year old rubber band would have completely
cracked and broken.
These rubber bands, like if it was buried under moist sand but not in a river, they said the rubber bands still would have held their integrity like they did when this kid
found. Why would you bury fucking 3 packets of money though?
Unless you buried all of it there. You know what I mean?
Well, they said that the way that the dollars had eroded, they were round on the corner, so it definitely indicated that they had been in the water, though, for a long time. Like, a lot of that erosion had been happening from the water, not from the... Because it wasn't evenly eroded, I guess. It's the way it would have hit the rocks in the water, and
right.
If it had been just buried in the sand, it would be equally eroded on the outside across the bill, but the edges were eroded.
So that doesn't make any sense then, either. No, because the rubber band says forensically it had to be buried, but the decay on the dollars...
no later than 3 years in the water, though, or something.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty wide scale of 3 years or something. And then someone said
it couldn't
have been there because they had dredged the lake or something at some point in time. So it wouldn't be there because it had to be after like 1974 or something. But then a third party came out with a paleontologist and said the dredging missed the find spot by 150 feet, actually. So they went back to, no, it could have been there immediately after.
Well, but some of the Thuth.
What's that guy's name, that fan? I can't think of his name.
He said that... I just completely fucked myself up with my Thith and Thuth.
You fucked yourself up?
God damn it. I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, no. They got rubber bands from the sourced from the same rubber by the same manufacturers that made the rubber bands in 1971 for banks. So they tried to duplicate the rubber band as best they could, and they bundled money in it and just buried it in the same exact river. And within something like 300 days, the rubber band was completely fucking deteriorated and couldn't hold up anymore. So
don't make them like they used to, though.
So. But what I'm saying is, if there's evidence that the money was in the water for a long time, it doesn't make any sense with the rubber bands.
Mm-mm.
There's probably all kinds of weird mineral content, hardness of the water, pH balance, like temperature.
Or, I mean, the other thing is, if it was bouncing around in the water for a while, it might have had nothing to do with DB Cooper. Some cat might have run into fucking $5,800 in 20s and was like, what the fuck is this?
Found it buried.
Peeled out $100, buried it on the shore until he could figure out what fucking mobster came after it. And then like the little kid found it. I mean,
entirely possible.
Yeah. I don't know. Just weird stuff with the money that kind of doesn't make any sense. So again, it's why it's still an ongoing mystery, because there's a lot of different forensic things that clash.
Yeah. And they finally closed the case in last year, 2016, in July.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. That's a long fucking, like, just run of looking for this dude.
Yeah.
Like,
Special Agent case. Frank Montoya finally just said, we're done. Like, we're not, you know, they had to finally close the case because they were like, every time something comes up, if someone finds a fucking parachute anywhere in 100-mile range of here, we have to dispatch agents.
They found a couple parachutes in the forest, which is weird. You know, like, what the fuck? Where are those guys at? Was there not a report of a skydiver that lost his parachute? You know what I mean? How is a parachute
apparently
in the middle of fucking woods?
I mean, it's like
some
when
kids
we
dug a parachute up and it was a World War II parachute or something.
It's like
shit.
When we talked about the fucking Russian serial killer, and like as soon as the cops started looking for him, they solved all these fucking cases. It's like as soon as you put 1,000 troops on the ground, they're like, I found a skull. So did I. Look, a dead body. Hey, a parachute.
Rare stamp.
Hey, there's Sarah. She went missing 8 years ago.
It's like, I mean, you're going to find all kinds of shit.
She did have a fat ass.
Deep woods.
That's why she got abducted.
That's why she's still alive. But then recently a bunch of stuff came out about the tie, right? Did you guys read the tie stuff?
Yeah, they found some.
They tried to do
DNA profiles, but I think that thing was fucking handled crazy, I'm sure.
The problem is, though, that they don't have anything to go off of. Like, they have DNA off it. They don't know. They don't know who touched it. They don't know anything.
And even
what are you going to compare it to? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Even if I could say, look, these 12 agents have handled the tie, it's not their DNA. Okay. So there's still some other cat with DNA and we have no idea who to compare that to. So, I mean, unless we have a body and compare the DNA, that DNA sample does fucking nothing.
Yeah. Right.
But they do have a DNA sample from the tie. It's probably from a fucking,
they have a few,
a clip on
wasn't there a few
tie salesman
yeah.
from JCPenney's. They're going to arrest him.
And they said it was only, conclusive enough to rule people out, not to actually decisively make a decision.
Okay.
They could just say it's definitely not that person, but we couldn't definitively because of the handling of it and the technology at the time or something. They couldn't actually say it is this person, even if they got the guy, I guess.
Right. Right. So the other thing that they did, and this was much more recently, they were able to put the tie under an electron microscope looking for any individual, you know, small scale
anything
stuff.
Pollen. They were trying to find something regional.
And what they found was flakes of titanium all over the tie and flakes of milled aluminum.
Well, that's because he made the bomb in the tie.
Right. So,
and but when I'm making cerium and strontium sulfide.
Yeah. When I'm making bombs, I usually wear my tie.
Yeah. I want to look dapper.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's these spiral aluminum chips that are only made using metalworking machinery. In 1971, there were a handful of places in the world that were doing anything with titanium. And most people who would have been working with these chemicals and with these metals wouldn't be wearing a tie, unless you were like a floor manager or something like that. And they would just be airborne and get on your tie. Right. So this starts to lead people down a path for, you know, forensically putting together a case for this guy.
This guy does have, has upper management written all over.
Yeah, exactly.
He does.
Yes. So the
matter of fact, common he has a meeting with the bombs in like 20 minutes.
I think he does. Yeah. The most common places in 1971 where these metals and chemicals would have been found together would have been a handful of chemical plants, metal fabrication facilities, or actual, and this is what the sleuths lean towards, they were used extensively in places that made aircraft and helicopters, and they think that he might have actually been an employee of Boeing, which was developing different supersonic transport planes that used all those exact elements in 1971, et cetera. So
he could have got a tie at the Goodwill too, though. That could have happened.
That could have happened.
Yeah.
But if we think he knows a bunch of shit about airplanes and we think that he knows all this stuff,
well, he does know about airplanes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you could check that off the list.
But
that's,
that could push towards a guy that worked at Boeing. I mean, that makes a lot of fucking sense based on the forensics of the tie, but it doesn't get you any closer to who this fucking guy was.
He built the plane.
Like, right.
He probably built the plane.
But if he lived, I mean, the thing is, if he lived, he would have gone fucking, you know, it's Thanksgiving weekend. So he had all of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to fucking Rambo his ass out, get back to work, and fucking show up at Boeing and keep building shit with a new tie. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he could have gone to a Black Friday sale on Friday, got a new clip on, and he would have been good to go by Monday.
That's true.
Like, that's the case. And then even the weird thing with the accent, like, all the people on that website started looking, and they were like, based on the way he spoke, everyone said he didn't have an accent. So they said he was either American or he had to come from some very specific region in French Canada that doesn't seem to have an accent to the the American ear.
There's some badass actors that do American accents, so that are
true.
Really good.
Well, that's the other thing is everybody in America has accents.
Not that guy from Star Trek, though. That fucking guy with the
doesn't have a good accent.
Pete's Dragon fucking lumberjack guy. I fucking hate that guy.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He has to speak very aggressively, like everything's angry, in order to pull off the American accent.
Maybe.
And I see right through it. I don't care how famous he is. It drives me crazy.
Well, you know what? I found out I'm bilingual. I speak Canadian.
Yeah. Well, do you?
So, yeah.
You just squint your eyes real hard? And beady?
No, I can just understand it when they talk. Yeah. I can't really speak it. I can understand it. So
that's still a skill.
Yeah. Like I know a couple words. Like a boat.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like that.
Everything's a boat.
I'm like that.
Everything's a boat.
With like Australian.
A boat floats.
I speak Australian.
You speak Australian?
Fosters.
Cunt.
Weak. Keen is Australian for the real Australian.
I just say cunt. You're a cunt.
Yeah, you can say cunt. If you say cunt and keen, done.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You can hang out.
And
they won't even know.
Mate. Ask. goes, yeah. Hey, mate.
You talk, that, about, talk about rugby and say Keenan Cunt and you're good.
You know what I realized? That's Bonzer. I don't know. I don't know the rules for rugby. Are there rules?
There's a ball. You run it one way or the other. You cross a line.
I think it's no fish
happens.
Hooking and no eye gouging. Otherwise,
that sounds like
you're,
sex.
You're good.
It is very, very much like
there's a ball, you run it one way or another, cross a line, some shit happens.
And then there's points.
Severing sex, you can like, eye gouge and fish hook. At least, at least when
that's
I'm
what
playing.
I'm talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know how football and soccer work? There's lines and there's balls, and teams try to get the ball. So we're like hockey.
A bunch of dudes trying to get a ball.
Or yeah. Hockey. Mm-hmm. Same shit.
That's a puck.
Whatever. Make it a ball.
Mm. No, you don't same talk about hockey thing, like that.
But it's a different shaped ball.
You don't the talk rugby about hockey like that because you can talk about Canadians having beady eyes and they speak in syrup language. But you talk about hockey, you don't cross the line.
Syrup language. Yeah.
It's like hieroglyphs for Egyptians, but, but it's syrup sticky. Language. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, field agent Larry Carr, by the time he was done with this whole citizen sleuth thing, his advice to the FBI was, Cooper did not survive the jump. He thinks that DB Cooper died. He thinks the reason that we couldn't find the parachute or anything is probably because he fell into a body of water. He thinks there's no way in hell that this guy was good enough, had the skills enough to live. And he thinks that the guy's just fucking dead ski.
I think they're not giving him enough credit. Like this guy got on a fucking plane, got 200 grand, fucking right. Refueled a couple times.
Once.
Nobody fucking knows who what he looks like.
Right.
They have a sketch of him.
Yeah, they've like, got a sketch it. Of him.
Nobody's seen him except
they've got a sketch
fucking,
and then an aged sketch.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
He fucking knows about parachutes, pretends that he doesn't, knows about the fucking airplane better than the fucking pilots pretty much.
Right.
I mean, knows what the fuck's going on. But yet,
I had the thought he didn't even exist. The crew was doing it.
I kind of was thinking that too. Like is it fucking was the flight attendant in on it?
But the problem is nobody spent the money. Ultimately, at the end of the day, nobody spent that money. And if he got away with it, the money would have got spent. You know what I mean?
They got washing places though.
No, because there's no value to the money. I mean, I guess you could have bought. No, because
no. What do bank robbers do though? Bank robbers go rob banks. That money's marked.
They launder the money, but they buy a commodity to resell the money on the market.
Launder,
that money.
I've never heard that term. It's money washing.
Oh, yeah. No, but the money would still ultimately come back into circulation, though.
How do they launder the money though? Like
you push.
What's
it
the point of? Yeah, I know.
You push
I know,
it through a business.
I yeah. get it. Like you launder. What's the point of laundering if it still comes back into circulation though?
So that you don't have it. But it ultimately comes back, but it didn't get tied to you. Mm. That's when you laundered. It yeah. comes back into circulation, but somewhere else in the world for some other thing. And you never got tied to it because you're not even a suspect is why. But this never showed back up in the market. Like yeah. it never showed back up anywhere.
Like you said, though, the only thing would be if he suddenly invested in a shit ton of foreign currency or just bought gold in a different country
and
it's just sitting somewhere else. And
would that happen, though? It would just set from the 70s, like still
not. Or some dictator fucking blew it up or it got, you know, buried.
Who knows? Well, no, I mean, ultimately the money would come back to the States, but if it was fucking 15 years later and they no longer are tracking these fucking serial numbers because they don't give a shit anymore, then it would have come back all at once and no one
and
would
now
care.
It's spread
right
fucking who knows right. where
yeah it could have crashed in a little fucking plane that was being transported.
Well, I mean,
what,
what's
cocaine.
To say,
like,
what's
who knows?
The, what's to say he didn't go back to work at Boeing for fucking 10 years and you know quit retire
that
and fucking
the,
go off and
yeah, that doesn't make know. The money come back. The money still would come
no I know that now. But I'm saying like he just didn't spend the money.
Yeah, that could
and then
happened.
And then later on
the money.
You know 20 years later he fucking no starts spending the money little by little, you know.
No, because he didn't. Because he'd be like 90 now. It's,
right.
It's done.
He'd well, be, now, yeah, but yeah. I'm talking about in the 80s.
Yeah, but that money has not come into circulation to date.
They haven't checked it, though.
No, they still do. Those are tracked serial numbers at banks. If that shit comes through, it would throw off
it
the...
It gets flagged.
Yeah, it would get flagged. Hmm. At every financial know. Institution, like those
we
are
need
tracked
his,
bills.
We need a secret.
Did you guys hear the thing about the comic books?
Yeah, the... like Belgian or something, right? Never translated to English, like but French. sold in Canada.
And there's a series of comic books called Dan Cooper.
Yes.
And a lot of them take place in outer space and a lot of them take place on Earth. But the thing is, he's like a paratrooper and he parachutes everywhere. And it was never published in the States. So people think he only could have read it if he was stationed overseas or if he was in the French region where people wouldn't
There's that thing with an author wrote a book about a ship that's the biggest ship ever. That's like not called the Titanic. It's called the Titan. And then it fucking sinks because it hits an iceberg and all that shit happened one year before the Titanic. There's those instances too.
Right.
Where the universe is just fucking throwing shit together.
But he very much could have read a fucking Dan Cooper comic book. And then
how'd they get his name right? Like, that's some bullshit.
How'd they get whose name right?
Dan Cooper. It's not D.B. Cooper.
From the airplane ticket.
I know, but the comic book got his name right. the media.
The comic book was before he did the jump.
One of the theories is that he was a fan of the comic book and he might have been in the military and he would have seen that overseas if he was stationed in Europe.
And then because he took that Belgian comic. Yeah. He took that name when he did the jump.
Because back in the day, no Netflix. It's like fucking think about it. If he was in his 40s and the 70s, you know, math, one star review, and he would have been into comic books.
1971 star review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
So did you guys read much about some of the suspects that floated to the top?
Yeah. I scanned through all those.
So the number one suspect that the FBI held for a very long time was a guy named Richard Floyd McCoy Jr. And the reason they think he might have done it is because in 1972, he hijacked a United Air jet with a fake hand grenade and an empty pistol and got $500,000. And
he got how much?
$500,000.
He bragged in a bar. Later. He was in a bar bragging to a friend. That's kind of how he got caught. That he said he was watching the D.B. Cooper thing and said, I could have done that, but I would ask for $500,000. And then he fucking went and did it. Got home, he jumped out over Utah, landed, got home. And then when they came to search his house based off of a fucking tip, because he had told somebody in a bar and they're like, I know who that is. And then it came back around. They opened his fucking closet and there was $500,000 in a fucking duffel bag. Right. He didn't even hide the shit somewhere.
Put in his closet.
Yeah.
Wasn't even in the attic.
No, just fucking.
Jesus Christ. Come on, guy.
So one of the head FBI agents said that to this day, he thinks that was D.B. Cooper and it was just a second robbery that he didn't confess to.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to line up.
Didn't jive.
Well, that guy got like fucking 40 years or something.
Yeah, he got a lot of time. That's Did you guys hear about
rapists get on 10 years?
Kenneth Christensen.
Yeah, that's the guy that actually worked from Connecticut. Right?
Yeah, Kenneth Christensen from Connecticut. He worked for Northwest Airlines around the time of the skyjacking. He was a former World War II paratrooper, so he had the skills to pull it off. His friends and family said he always seemed to have way more money than what you'd expect from a guy who was a flight attendant, and that he bought a house with cash in Boney Lake, Washington.
Where'd the money go, though?
He only made $150 per week.
Right.
So they're like, he had managed to save, because I guess when he passed, this is the guy, right? If I'm saying right, this is the guy that after he passed, they found that he had gold coins. And then he had a valuable stamp collection, which fucking that shit won't go away. Maybe valuable stamps are in the woods because that guy.
Well, hold on, though. Yeah, he found them in the woods.
Yeah, he found them in the woods when he landed. So he had gold coins.
I think the stamp collection needs to go on a checklist.
Yeah. He had gold coins, a valuable stamp collection, and $200,000 in his bank account. And he had just paid cash for that house, and he only makes $150 a week.
What
and he
about works serial same numbers? Airlines. Though? What about serial numbers? Like you guys are arguing.
Well, that's my question. About serial numbers. So, do you know when they started tracking the serial numbers?
I know they stopped tracking them after a while, though.
They didn't make it public, but still, they would be in circulation. That's a lot.
They did make it public.
10,000 bills.
They did make it public.
They made it public. It's 10,000 bills in circulation. I mean, shit gets messed up, and you know, gets lost in a stripper.
I'm sure that there was probably a way for that money to get laundered and still be spent and not show back into circulation.
Maybe.
I'm saying that there had to have been.
The end user doesn't launder the money though. You know what I mean? Unless you buy counterfeit money or something and the person has to want that money that you're
giving. Well, hold on though. The FBI gave the numbers, the real basically, to all of, they gave them to world banks.
Right.
And they gave them to a bunch of banks who did big transactions. What about small, like small business?
It would still
banks?
Make it through, dude. That shit's crazy. It's like,
well, the other thing is, I mean, if he did,
I don't know.
It's like food coloring in water. Like that shit, if you followed a dollar, that tracked GW bill, those bills.
Yeah, but if he did some fucking, some Connecticut fucking little tiny bank had 200 grand in there, they didn't report it. They didn't know.
And it just set it's,
yeah. I mean, who knows?
Well, no, but eventually someone's going to make a withdrawal and that money.
Yeah. Cause that money that gets put in is going to get sent.
I mean, the only other thing that it could have been is it could have been a straight up illegal laundering job. He gave someone $200,000 to get 120,000 back, cause you're going to launder it. He gets his 120,000 pieces.
That's a ripoff.
And then like a fucking month later, the guy who's sitting on this $200,000 finds out that it's hot and he can't do anything with it. And he's just burned and has to fucking dispose of the money. I mean, that's the other option. He could have laundered the money.
That's fucking,
and the person who's doing the laundering just got fucking stuck with $200,000 that they can't spend.
That's $1.2 million.
They would try to spend
the fuck off.
They wouldn't know. They would just try to spend it. They'd be like, fuck it, I'm gonna try to spend it. I didn't steal, I'll try to spend it. They would give it to the next guy who would get fucked and they would spend it. The other thing they with Kenneth Christensen was that they also found a folder of Northwest Orient news clippings leading all the way from 1950 up until the date of the hijacking, in which point he had no more news clippings after that point, but continued to work for the airline for like another 10 years. But for some reason, collecting the clippings. And then on his deathbed, he told a family member that there was something that he needed to tell them or something like.
Yeah, but he died before he could say what he had
to say.
Yeah,
it was like the mystery is in the.
He said, he had something to confess about his past, but then he was never able to. And even
he was a transvestite.
A guy that was the longtime former lead agent, Ralph Himmelsbach, said that if he knew now, or if he knew then what he knows now about Christensen, who died in 1994, that he would have been labeled as one of the primary suspects during the investigation.
But they did say that the eyewitnesses, like the stewardess and whatnot, they showed them pictures and they said, not the guy. That's the problem why they won't use him as the primary suspect.
Oh,
I see. Eyewitnesses didn't meet up and he had zero skydiving expertise in any way. So he could have been like working there and living vicariously through the legend of D.B. Cooper. And he could have been stealing some money some other way because he was like, oh, I'm going to be a criminal.
Or he just
too.
Saved
got
fucking
his
money.
Not he could have just saved money. Do the math. $150 a week is what he made.
Hey, there was a guy that collected cans who bought a brand new truck. No, I'm just saying.
One red paperclip.
I mean, a brand new truck, 20 grand. Like he bought a brand new truck.
200 grand, which was the equivalent of millions of dollars back then.
I don't know. Maybe he was recycling the titanium bits.
Maybe. What about, did you guys see Sheridan Peterson?
That one, I don't know. I don't think I did see that one.
So Sheridan Peterson apparently was investigated twice by the FBI in connection to the D.B. Cooper case, but they couldn't find enough to make anything stick. But here's the evidence on him. Lives in Northern California.
Guilty.
That's it. Case closed.
Guilty. Those motherfuckers are weird.
He was a smoke jumper in the 1950s. So you
What's
would
that?
Put, you would strap.
What's a smoke jumper?
You would strap a smoking pot basically to your legs and arms and jump out of a plane and like spin in the air and make like colored patterns. Like for air shows, like so smoke would be coming off your body and you'd see like a trail of smoke. But the reason that that's important is that one of the things that you would do as a smoke jumper was instead of white smoke, people would strap giant sacks of flour with a rip in it and then to their legs and jump out of the plane. And then the flour would just like seep into the air and it looked like white smoke. And they said that the way that, D.B. Cooper was said to have strapped the money to his legs with the paracords would have been exactly what someone who had that experience would have done, because you already know exactly how to handle that load.
No one actually saw him. The stewardess sort of saw him trying to affix it around his waist because he made her stay in the front of the plane while he was in the rear and closed the curtain. She said she could sort of see him through the crack trying to tie something
wrapping
around his
stuff.
Waist.
Yeah, they really legs, didn't. So. Yeah, they really didn't have a specific way that he tied it.
Yeah. There was, that was kind of hearsay.
So other evidence on Sheridan Peterson, he was the Boeing employees skydiving club. He edited a bunch of skydiving things. He knew a lot about 727s because he dove out of them a lot.
Did you see that, Dave?
Brad, oh, you them. Killed the 40?
Short of the little bit, I didn't finish. Yeah. It tastes kind of weird. The one in the can was way better. Mm. I don't know what's up. Pat did say he left that on his desk for like a fucking year, though. Yeah, like, I think it got hot,
it's
cold.
It's old?
Hot, cold, yeah.
Gave me old Cobra, you fucking bitch.
You drank it. I drank it
too. Hey, you know what? It was good. Yeah. It was really cold.
You seemed happy with it.
Your little fridge fucking kept that shit cold as fuck.
Old Cobras are dangerous too.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I did find in Ventura? A Cobra fucking staff.
And you didn't get it?
Well, it was like $100. Like, that thing was insane though.
Some wizard.
I really wanted it. Yeah.
I found crazy Nazi books and I didn't buy them either because they're $100.
Yeah. So Sheridan Peterson.
Sorry.
the other thing that's very strange about him was that he, his alibi when the FBI asked him about where he was during the time of the hijacking, he says his alibi was he was off raising two small children in a mud hut in Nepal, writing his accounts of American atrocities in Vietnam.
See the
and this, they said, "Do you have any evidence of that?" And he said, "Nope."
That doesn't sound like something DB Cooper would do, though.
No, but it does sound like something a fucking smoke jumper would do from Northern California, who's a pothead.
Yeah,
like, that definitely.
Very.
Like,
yeah,
man, I took off to a mud hut, man. I raised my kids.
Hey guys,
kept them out of school.
Yeah,
the man was gonna.
Like, the motherfucker was high as shit when he fucking talked to the feds.
Did you see?
He was just nervous.
What happened to Earl Cosey? That's the guy that actually owned the skydiving school that provided the parachutes.
No.
In 2013, he was found dead in his home, bludgeoned in the head, in a homicide.
With a candlestick?
Yes, with a candlestick. Actually, no murder weapon found, but obviously conspiracy theorists point to something to do with D.B. Cooper. He
what year
the parachutes. 2013, recent. He's an old ass man.
92-year-old DB Cooper crawled in with his walker.
No,
and his fucking pummeled
with a big ass candlestick. Come on, like candlesticks are heavy. I seen some big ass ones.
No one said
he's like
DB
the old
Cooper,
man from Family Guy with a dog dragging behind him.
It harkens involvement is all.
I got some Tylenol PM. First one to take it wins.
Or come on, shot and have a popsicle.
Come on down to my basement. I got some push-up pops, boss.
So, and there were a couple of other people that you can read about. There was a guy named Dwayne Weber, who also called himself John C. Collins, who had like an alias, and he apparently
Bill Collins' brother.
He died of kidney disease, and his told his wife on his deathbed that he was Dan Cooper.
Oh, get out of here.
And she had no idea what the fuck that meant. And then she looked into it and was like, "Oh, you mean DB Cooper?" But then, as part of her discovery, she found out that he had like all these alternate IDs for John Collins, and he found out that there was a John Collins registered in the airport motel the night before the skyjacking. And
they had a lot of stuff.
Oh,
she said, yeah, because she said she didn't know what that was. She even said she remembers him having a nightmare during which he talked in his sleep about jumping from a plane and leaving fingerprints on the aft stairs. Yeah. So, like, murmured that in his sleep.
There's like some shit.
I have fingerprints on the aft stairs.
Yeah. Where's my clip-on tie?
My clip-on. I left my clip-on, my favorite clip-on.
And she said later on in 1979, they took a trip to the Seattle and Columbia River together, during which he went and visited the riverbank where the money was found. In 1979, which is like a year or two before that kid finds the money.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah. This is kind of pointing to
a lot of this shit.
Dwayne Weber / John C. Collins.
Dwayne Weber. Spud Webb over here.
The FBI ruled him out, though, because none of the fingerprints from him matched anything anywhere. They couldn't link anything from him to that other than hearsay, wife dreams, statements, other false IDs. But he was like a World War II vet, and he got in some trouble and shit too.
Maybe he had like,
the notes.
You could take the white glue. You could take the white glue and make fingerprints.
This part was kind of crazy, actually. When he said that, she went to the local library to do research on DB Cooper. And she found like the one book by Max Gunther or something. And she discovered notations in the margins that were her husband's handwriting in the, at the library.
Oh, shit.
Which could have meant he went and read that shit to make the claim.
Yeah, that's still kind of crazy, though.
Yeah, that's the
that is kind of weird. Like, that'd be weird to go to the library and be like, fucking notations from my husband.
Yeah, that's so, yeah, and there's
John
a couple
List,
other.
William Gossett. Yeah, there's a whole
William
bunch
Gossett.
Of
he was on a lot of Coast to Coast stuff. Barb / Bobby Dayton, who claimed to have done it, like all these
man,
a lot
like,
of different
people. So what do you think? What do you got? You think he died?
I lean towards he either lost the money and took off, like the money fucking flew off because he didn't.
Yeah, know. landed in the fucking river.
But I have to say, my personal opinion, given the fucking conditions of it being 200 mile an hour wind in the fucking dark in a rainstorm over a Washington fucking forest above a river with a fucking old ass army parachute. I don't care how fucking cool he was.
It wasn't old. It was new. I mean, the parachute was good.
It was good. It was functional. Yeah. It was a less modern style parachute. I don't think he lived.
Sometimes,
I think they would have fucking.
I
think he hit water for sure.
Well, I mean, he can probably swim. He's not black.
Yeah, but
he's not
afraid of water. 17 degrees
fucking swim.
Out, though.
You know how cold it was? That water's fucking freezing, dude.
Well, -7 up in the air is not -7 down.
For how long in the wind? You ever stuck your fucking face out the car window on a cold night?
I don't know. Maybe he had a mask hidden somewhere. Maybe he had a fucking piece of luggage. I don't know. Like
that bomb transformed into a snowsuit.
He's probably dead now, but
they didn't
find the briefcase either, though.
He had to hit water. Where'd the briefcase go?
He had it.
He held that shit on the way down, one hand
like
on a briefcase.
Like
I didn't know he took the briefcase when he left.
Yeah, he hugged it. He hugged it.
The only thing he left was
the fucking tie. Oh, that's why he left the tie, because he had to hug the briefcase and it was hurting his neck. Yeah, it was hurting his neck. Yeah.
So I don't know. The sticky point with me is the fact that the money never showed back up into circulation.
That's hard.
Yeah. Like that's the hard thing
but
to get around.
Like I said, I'm on the tip of gave it to big banks and little banks weren't looking for it, it could have came back in. And after 10, 15 years, they're not looking for it anymore. I bet you'd find some now. I bet you'd be there.
I don't think so, man.
I bet you. I think so. I don't know. You disagree. I kind of think so.
But the other thing is, even if it was all 20s, yeah. Like at a certain point when they redesigned the 20s, they started recollecting all old 20s. Once they redesigned the 20s, every old 20 started to get sucked up by banks. So these things would have been
if it went sucked in by the mint, it would have been like labeled that it got destroyed. They would have found that for sure in that scenario. Mm-hmm. People still find fucking like 1942 Denver mint
but the other thing is pennies
and shit.
Are they really finding the money though? Like, are they really going through that money looking for, oh, D.B. Cooper, fucking, let's look for the money. They're probably not expending that resource.
No, I think Dave's right, though. I think after a certain year, as money starts to come through, it gets fucking swapped out for new money.
You're right.
And the mint would flag it if it got
I don't think so. Like, is the mint really looking for those numbers?
I think there's a certificate
of destruction. I bet you they're not.
No, well, they probably is based on inflation. They have to mark that the money's gone.
You have to be able to tick off that all this money is gone before you enter new.
Yeah, but who's looking for those notes, though? I bet you it came in there and they're like tick 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 tick. Put in the fucking
no way.
Well, the thing is, it's not just that they're looking for DB Cooper's money. Every bank robbery, every hostage situation, every time that someone has stolen
a lot of money, if the feds
have given money away for a hostage situation and the money made it out, they have the serial
the
numbers.
Thing is,
people
though,
are looking for it.
The insurance company got ordered by the court to pay it, so they paid. 180 grand to the airplane company. Now, I don't think that they're looking for it.
I think absolutely. I think it's not that they're looking for it actively. It's in the fucking system. Like Dave said, for every bank robbery ever, any note that's being tracked, any transaction.
You would think that.
I mean, I would think that something surprised me.
And you'd think that they'd find the fucking girl's body in a fucking abandoned fucking warehouse too. You know, I mean,
shit happens, but I think that
the fact that not one of them has shown up.
I don't know the destruction process at a mint, but I think that they definitely track what they destroy.
If they can scan
in 1971, if they could fucking scan $1,020 bills onto microfilm before they give it to that guy, they definitely check that shit.
Yeah, I agree. I either think it got foreign, like somewhere foreign, you know, it's stashed away. I really want to believe that he landed. Yeah, I really want to believe that he landed.
I mean, to me, he's either dead.
Fucking James Bond motherfucker.
He lived but lost the money, or he lived and had some serious fucking badass money launderer that was able to fucking get the money out of the country, not found, etc.
Or like, he got cold and burned that shit.
Or he lit a fucking fire out of it.
Started a fire because it's like freezing.
Yeah. Or he was such a fucking badass that he didn't even want the money.
Where did he land, like, though?
Middle of the woods.
In where, though? Like what?
It was in Washington.
In Washington?
Yeah.
Allegedly. Maybe. Depending on how long did he recalculate,
he could have landed over here. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. With wind and depending on even with that 1 minute variation, they could, if he jumped a minute earlier, a minute later, and then how long did he free fall before he pulled the chute? And then which way did the wind blow him? You know what I mean?
There's a big lake, Lake Merwin, which was north of the area that he was in. It was near a town called Ariel, about 20 miles away from the town, but it was all in Washington. And the $5,800 that they found is the other thing. Place that he landed, $5,800 is found.
Well,
is
like and way the river the could, fuck away. Like you the said, coast. The river could have flown, dude, you know, that way.
You know, Japan junk floats up on fucking like Oregon and Washington coast.
Right.
All the fucking time.
Their water junk will, does?
Yeah.
Is it like small?
Trash and shit. Yeah.
Oh, trash.
Little junk. Yeah. Flamethrowers.
Flamethrowers, sniper rifles,
yeah,
typical palm stuff. Leaves,
yeah.
Plutonium canisters, old sushi containers,
yeah. Oh, slant eyes, they just roll up on the coast.
Used panties, too.
Used panties, that's big in Japan.
Tentacle porn,
that's big in Japan. I wonder if somebody would buy our used panties, like if we just wore panties.
I don't know,
I don't want to know.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
Nah, maybe we'll try that.
So there's the
that's our next giveaway.
The mysterious case of DB Cooper. I don't know what the story is. The evidence is kind of strange. It contradicts itself at times. And that's that. You want to do sponsors and then we'll have our graduation ceremony.
Thanks again to Josh Haney for all that whiskey.
And Pat Jimenez for the 40 that I finished.
For everything. And thank you to Brad for buying his presents.
For buying
my presents. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I went to Ventura too. I didn't buy you anything. I saw stuff.
Got me a shell.
Actually, I barely stepped on the beach. There was cool rocks there, but yeah, I didn't actually get in the water.
Hmm.
I was like,
I didn't even see the water.
I was jaded California guy. You went to the beach and didn't go to the beach?
I don't go to the beach. I've been to the beach so much. Yeah. I don't even care about the beach
there's
anymore.
People in the
Why am I going to go to the
there's
fucking...
people in the frozen Midwest right now just fucking hating you.
Yeah,
right
there's
now.
Like, there's radiation water. That's what we're looking at.
That's true.
It also proves that he's tier 4 white.
Yeah.
That's true. Who? Brent? Me?
Yeah.
Oh, because I don't care about the water. I stay away from the water.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. People didn't get the tier system. They're like, I'm tier 5. And I'm like, there's no fucking tier 5.
Tier 1 white person. Wants
just because you're Mexican,
beach.
You ain't tier 5, bitch. No. You're fucking either tier 1 to 4, one or the other, black or white.
Yeah.
Do you eat macaroni? Do you eat Top Ramen? Do you have savings? I mean, like, if you got no savings, you're probably fucking tier 4 white or black, one or the other. If you got black in you, you're on the black side. If you got white in you, you're on the white side. If you got savings, you're upper on the tier on the white. I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Are you done?
Yeah.
Lewis Black.
Okay. God damn, you know what? I hate baby alligator skins. All right, go. I don't
bananas.
Know. Bananas.
thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Tons of people have been posting pictures, and we appreciate that because it makes El Yucateco realize
makes them happy.
We're doing our job. Yeah,
yes.
We do
happy.
Appreciate that. Thank you for going and sharing those posts and commenting on those. You guys are pretty funny. Most of you are pretty creative.
Some of you suck. I just got to put that out there.
I throw a dick and a cliche out there. I think you guys get more creative. I mean, you had like 6 hours. You could have thought
of
something.
You know what? I really want our fans to be creative. Like, we're creative. I want our fans to be creative. Don't just dick everything.
Yeah.
Just because we dick everything, don't fall to our level.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Be better
don't
than
dick
us.
Be better than
also,
us.
Also, no political segues for no reason.
Yeah,
at all.
Bitches.
We're talking about hot sauce. Just fucking talk about hot sauce. You don't need to bring politics into it. It's a family show and a group event. We're trying to be friends, not enemies. So don't start wars inside of our group. You can do that on your own fucking Facebook. Speaking of that, thanks to El Yucateco once again. You can get that at Walmart and Target, most local grocery stores. You can order it on their website. And I found you can get it on eBay. I mean, ultimately that money's getting back to them. Yep. So I assume that's okay. But there is
somebody bought it somewhere.
Somebody bought it somewhere. There's tons of eBay auctions and Amazon. So ultimately,
if you can't find it, you're likely blind.
Yeah.
I'm just going with that one.
Yes. Thank you.
Or a paraplegic can't get to the store.
Dirtcheap.com. They can use the internet, Brad.
Yes. Huh? Well, what if they don't have fingers? They're paraplegic, no fingers.
My buddy really got the least of their worries.
My buddy was showing me his stump porn. They call it stumpy porn.
Okay, like just keep doing the sponsors.
I will talk over Brad's stump porn as much as
I can. I was just as shocked as you guys.
You can order any type of printable good, and they have quite the catalog on their website, and you can use code SOFAKING to save some money. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics. He printed all those cool SK Ultra shirt. If you don't have an SK Ultra shirt, you are a fuckface peasant. And if you want to get one, you can go to our Patreon and sign up.
Or a non-baby puncher, and that's fucking just as bad.
It is. So if you want that shirt, there's only one way to get it. You can't buy it. You have to contribute. Thank you to those who did, and your shirts are on the way. Thank you to Digital Creations for our mugs, and thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com and buy instructional DVDs and Wiener.
If you're Mexican, that's Jiu-Jitsu.
Jiu-Jitsu,
yep. Yes.
Is that it?
That's all I got for sponsors, yes.
So now we're going to get into the graduation.
So we want to thank the graduates of SK University on this year, starting with, and we lost, to be honest, we had a list of professions, like as we do job placement when you graduate from SK University, but we lost the list. So we're going to figure out this is probably what they did.
Yeah.
So Linda... Datalilo.
Get a new name-o. Okay, Jesus Christ.
That's what she does. Leslie Carmen.
Mechanic.
Which is a mechanic?
Yeah.
Because of the car man?
Yeah.
Leslie Car man. Yeah, that works. Ryan Zahn.
I've got fucking nothing on the show.
He's a hot dog tester.
Yeah.
Oh, hot dog tester. Carrie Woby
makes cat food.
Janine Vincent
makes cat litter.
Jarrell Jones
eats cat shit.
Raymond Guy
dresses like a cat when he has sex.
Yeah, his name in Korea is Nam Mong Guy.
Amanda Andrews,
cat burglar,
professional furry.
Billy Reynolds.
He actually works at Vaughn's, the grocery store. He's a bagger.
And he sounds gay for sure.
Sean Benson.
Doug Benson's cousin, trying to start a podcast. Not really going that well.
Aiden Small.
Has a degree in small vaginas.
But has a huge dick.
Has a huge dick, that's right.
Bakersfield Street Photography.
Takes photos
of feces on the sidewalk, but makes it artsy.
Demi Filippu.
Demi Moore's cousin, not very popular.
Jason Russell.
He wrestles, but he didn't know how to spell it. He just kind of let us know. He's like, gangster. He's like, dude, I wrestle, man.
I wrestle?
I fucking wrestler.
I'll wrestle you.
You're wrestle.
Anthony and Caitlin.
Anthony and Caitlin?
That's right.
They fucking donated together?
That's right.
Oh, they're fucking poor. They set out on...
They have to share a Patreon shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, they should. We should sew one together.
And they each get half.
Megan Kolar.
Kolar. She actually...
faucets.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Mike
is a dick because we told you to put your fucking first and last name in the Patreon, didn't we? Mike doesn't listen for a living.
Well, let me do this
one. That's what he does.
Tyler.
Fucking Tyler, you son of a bitch. We told you motherfuckers to put your first and last name in the Patreon.
Neil Stanifer.
Neil Stanifer is a geologist professor.
And that will do it for this year's graduating class of Sofa King University.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. We appreciate it. Patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast to hear more, or else we're going to quit this shit and we won't podcast anymore. You understand? Is that okay?
No. Yeah.
All right. All right. And remember, don't be a retard.
Killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been cooking that shit, now they fucking with this. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been cooking that shit, now they fucking with this. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been killing this, looking that, killing this, looking that.
wrist. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist, looking at killing this, looking at wrist. Let me tell you about the young man. Matter of fact, I'ma let Push tell that. Take it by the old man. Had to change of heart and it fell back. Old man lived a long life. Walked around with a long knife. Way cut the white like Jesus. That Colombiana, that's mere models like. Yeah. Look at the flick of that wrist. I'm feeling like Leonardo. Let me paint the picture. I might need a bottle. On the road to success, I can feel the throttle. That Michelangelo. Hunters in the envelope. Tight shit when I write shit. And that old man had a change of heart. Wishing knew it back from the start. Like, goddamn. Looked around. Seen his wife on the ground. Military busting bullets all over the whole compound. Soon as it's seen it, I swear it, I mean it. My man was gone quicker than Vominos. He dead, she dead, he in jail. Everyone falling like dominoes. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been cooking that shit, now they fucking with this. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been cooking that shit, now they fucking with this. Yeah, I've been killing this, chilling this shit. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been killing this, looking that wrist. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist, looking that villain, looking that wrist.
Logic. Clockwise, counterclockwise. Realest nigga in the top five. Other four ain't rap niggas. I'm just rapping for the blow side.
Yeah,
that's coastlines. Panama for the boat rides. Worth billions, and we ain't even need Showtime. Just money counters and kitchenware. Condo with a bitch in there. Two scales and baggies, we got rich in there. Paroli's been a trophy since Hawaiian Sophie. Curry over Kobe, we shooting niggas. Splash Brothers with the coca. Add in baking soda. Goodfellas to my niggas. Aureliotas. Shades of blue, I aim at you. Let the sky fall, let it rain on you.
Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been cooking that shit, now they fucking with this. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been cooking that shit, now they fucking with this. Yeah, I've been killing this, chilling this shit. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been killing this, looking that, flicking that wrist. Yeah, I've been killing this shit. Yeah, I've been hard in the paint, not a single assist. Yeah, I've been flicking that wrist, looking that, flicking that wrist.